Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
For the Hidden Killers Podcast, I'm Stacey Cole. In a surprising turn of events, Alex Murdaugh, the disgraced attorney and convicted murderer, entered into a plea deal related to a series of financial crimes, thus avoiding a trial that was set to begin shortly. We take you now to the raw courtroom audio.
This court is back in session. Thank you. You may be seated.
Mr. Waters.
Good afternoon, Your Honor.
Good afternoon.
We're obviously here in the state grand jury case against Richard Alec Murdaugh. He is present and represented by his counsel, Dick Arfutlian and Jim Griffin. As Your Honor is aware, we currently have trial scheduled to begin a week from Monday on at least one aspect of the multiple financial crimes that have been investigated and indicted by the state grand jury against Mr. Murdaugh for his abuse of his law license to steal money from clients. It is my understanding that Mr. Murdaugh here today intends to plead guilty pursuant to a plea agreement, which I will detail here in a moment, and that this will ultimately, if this proceeding goes through, will resolve those financial crimes that are alleged against Mr. Murdaugh. Your Honor, pursuant to that plea agreement, I believe you have a copy up at the bench. Is that correct, Your Honor?
Yes, sir.
Pursuant to that plea agreement, Your Honor, and I'll detail the plea agreement and the various provisions of it as we do this particular.
Is all that correct thus far, Mr. Harputlian?
Yes, sir, Your Honor, it is.
All right. Go ahead, please.
And Your Honor, I would ask if the defendant could be sworn as we begin this proceeding. And obviously, I think because it would be fairly lengthy, I would request that they be allowed to sit during the state's presentation.
All right. Mr. Murdaugh, you'll stand. Raise your right hand. Do you swear
affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so be God?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. We have, in fact, signed a plea agreement here with the defense here today. It has been executed by me for the state, as well as Mr. Harputlian and Mr. Murdaugh himself. And you should have a number of sentencing sheets that are part of this plea. What we've endeavored to do with this plea is to bring some finality to this matter, but to also ensure that there's an appropriate sentence, a lengthy sentence that ensures that Mr. Murdaugh will remain in state prison for a very long time. Your Honor, there are a lot of charges, and so I'm going to first of all go through and detail the charges from the various indictments to which he will be pleading. And again, to put this plea together, we ensured that there was at least one, and sometimes more than one, representative charge for each victim that was victimized by Mr. Murdoch in the course of his legal practice. The first indictment is 2021 GS 4727, and pursuant to this plea agreement, Mr. Murdoch will be pleading to count two, which is money laundering, value $100,000 or more, and that will be a negotiated sentence of 20 years. The second count to which he will be pleading is in 2021 GS 4728. This indictment was venued in Bamberg County and dealt with the crimes committed, first of all, in the diversion of the fees and the case that he shared with Chris Wilson from the firm, as well as ultimately not paying back, ultimately convincing Chris Wilson to cover $192,000 of those fees. Your Honor, he will be pleading in this for that indictment, count one, for a false pretenses, $10,000 or more, for a sentence of 10 years, as well as count seven, which is false pretenses, $10,000 or more, for another 10 years. The third indictment is 2021 GS 4729. This is the crime that is venued in Allendale County. The victim in this case was Dion Martin, and Mr. Murdoch has agreed to plead guilty to count one, breach of trust with fraudulent intent, $10,000 or more, for a negotiated sentence of 10 years. The next one is 2021 GS 4730. This is venued here in Beaufort County, and this is the indictment that the state was prepared to try a week from Monday. This is the case involving the Satterfield matter, and he has agreed to plea to count four, which is 2021 GS 4730, count four, for 10 years. 2021 GS 4730, count five, for 20 years, and 2021 GS 4730, count eight, for 20 years. Those latter two were money laundering. Those are 20-year offenses that are at 85% time that must be served. Your Honor, the next indictment to which you'll be pleading is 2021 GS 4731. This is where the victim was Manuel Sanchez Cristiani, and he will be pleading to breach of trust in count one, and the negotiated sentence is 10 years. The next indictment, 2021 GS 4732, this is venued in Hampton County, and the victim was Randy Draughty. And in that particular matter, he will be pleading to breach of trust, $2,000 to $10,000, and the negotiated sentence is 5 years. The next indictment is 2021 GS 4733, and this matter involved the estate of Blondell Gary and venued in Hampton County. In that particular case, he will be pleading guilty to count two for money laundering, value $100,000 or more. The negotiated sentence will be 20 years. The next indictment is 2021 GS 4734. This is venued in Hampton County, and the victim was Chris Anderson, and he will be pleading to count two, which is money laundering, $100,000 or more, with a negotiated sentence of 20 years. The next one is 2021 GS 4735. This is venued in Beaufort County, and the victim is Jordan Jinks. He will be pleading to forgery, 2021 GS 4735, count five, for a negotiated sentence of 10 years. The next one is 2021 GS 4736. This is venued in Hampton County. The victim is Johnny Bush, and he will be pleading to count two, which is computer crime, value more than $10,000, for a negotiated sentence of 5 years. The next one is 2021 GS 4737. He will be pleading to count one in that one. That is venued in Hampton County, and the victim was Jamie and Risher, and he will be pleading to a negotiated sentence of 10 years. The next one is 2021 GS 4738. This is venued in Colleton County, and the victim was the estate of Sandra Taylor. He will be pleading in that matter to 2021 GS 4738, count two, for money laundering, That's an 85% offense, and he will be pleading to a 7-year sentence on that particular crime that will be consecutive to count 5 of 2021 GS-30. The next one is 2022 GS-4701. This is venued in Hampton County. The victim was Natasha Thomas, and he will be pleading to breach of trust in count 1 to a negotiated sentence of 10 years. The next one is 2022 GS-4702. In this instance, the victim was Hakeem Pinckney, and the heirs of Hakeem Pinckney. That is venued in Hampton County. He will be pleading to count 1, breach of trust, for a negotiated sentence of 10 years. The next one is 2022 GS-4703. This is venued in Allendale County, and the victim was Arthur Badger. He will be pleading to count 1, breach of trust, for a negotiated sentence of 10 years. Additionally, 2022 GS-4710. This is venued in Colleton County. This actually had a criminal conspiracy and a drug offense in it. He will be pleading to the criminal conspiracy in that particular matter for a negotiated sentence of 5 years. The next one is 2022 GS-4723. This is venued in Hampton County, and the victim is Randy Murdoch and the law firm. He will be pleading to count 3, which is money laundering, value more than $100,000, and for a negotiated sentence of 20 years. Your Honor, I would add that that particular count, and only that particular count, the plea will be pursuant to Alford. Moving on to 2022 GS-4724. This is, again, the law firm being the victim of venued in Colleton County, and he will be pleading to count 3 of obtaining signature of property by false pretenses for a negotiated sentence of 10 years. Finally, we have 2022 GS-4734. This is the series of indictments that related to his tax evasion based on his more than a decade-long schemes to defraud clients and as well as defraud the South Carolina Department of Revenue. He will be pleading to count 9 of that particular indictment, and that will be willful attempt to evade a tax, and the negotiated sentence will be 5 years. Your Honor, obviously we are here today to resolve indictments that span the region and span a number of counties. And this, of course, has materialized here today as we showed up for pretrial proceedings. And so obviously the proposal that we have for Your Honor is to take these pleas today with these negotiated sentences that result in a net lead sentence of 27 years at 85% time. We do request that we defer sentencing to a later time so that all the various victims can be notified. We have been in the process of notifying them, but obviously want that proceeding to take place at a time where they can be present and speak to the court if they wish to. So we do have that request to Your Honor. Additionally, as we look at this particular plea agreement, because we have crimes to which he is pleading in various counties, we would request that there be a colloquy with the defendant to waive venue for those counties other than Beaufort to resolve those matters here today with this plea. In looking through the various provisions in the plea agreement, and we've gone over them in great detail with counsel, and I believe counsel has gone over them with his client. It sets forth the various pleas and the various counts to which you will be pleading that I just detailed, as well as the negotiated sentences. It also, though, has in this particular plea agreement that Mr. Murdoch will waive any appeals that he may have and any post-conviction relief appeal that he may have as it relates to the financial matters that we are addressing here today, thus bringing finality to this sentence and to this chapter in the history of the South Carolina judicial system. Of course, though, we would request a colloquy with him about those particular waivers as well. In the event that Mr. Murdoch accepts these pleas and accepts this negotiated sentence of 27 years in state prison, then obviously the state will null pros the various remaining counts following consummation of the plea. Additionally, it's important to point out that this plea today does nothing to address any county charges. This is only here to address the state grand jury charges that have been indicted. It has no effect, obviously, on the murder convictions and the litigation that surrounds the murder convictions. This, again, is only here to resolve those financial matters, and that is the point of this particular proceeding, to take care of that. I think those are perhaps the major provisions that we need to address that are in the plea agreement. Again, the main things that I think need to be addressed, of course, is from the plea agreement is Mr. Murdoch's assent to resolution, assent to the negotiated sentence. The other provision in there is restitution. In this particular document, Mr. Murdoch admits that he owes restitution, but the exact amounts and that order will be deferred for when we have the sentencing proceeding here in the future. Finally, I think, Your Honor, I need to address these issues with Mr. Murdoch, and then at that time, the state will go through the factual basis. It's obviously very extensive. We're talking about a multi-year course of conduct, and it is very detailed. I think our plan here for today, if this is all right with Your Honor, is for me to do a quicker version, which is still going to be fairly extensive, to get through the factual basis of this plea. And then at the sentencing proceeding, I would ask for leave of court again to go into more detail about exactly how Mr. Murdoch committed these schemes, how he used his law license to abuse the judicial system. We think there's a valid, very important, valid state interest in exposing those facts and exposing this long-time course of conduct, this abuse of power and influence for the public and for the judicial system itself. With that, Your Honor, I would yield to Your Honor to have the colloquy with Mr. Murdoch, and then I'll be happy to address the factual basis after that.
Mr. Harper-Levine?
Your Honor, Mr. Murdoch agrees with the state's rendition concerning the plea agreement. He has executed that plea agreement. We would also withdraw our motion for recusal so we can proceed with you being the judge on this matter. I think that's all I would say prior to you having the colloquy with Mr. Murdoch. Jim?
Mr. Griffin, any comment at this point?
No, Your Honor, I have nothing further to add.
Mr. Murdoch, you've heard what Mr. Waters has stated. Do you agree with the statements he has made?
Yes, sir.
And do you wish to withdraw your formally entered plea of not guilty and plead guilty to each and every one of these charges?
I do.
You, your lawyer, and the prosecutor have negotiated a sentence in this matter that's been recited by Mr. Waters. Is that right?
Yes, sir. And
where there's a negotiated sentence, either I will accept the plea, guilty plea, and give you the exact sentence that you, your lawyer, and the prosecutor have negotiated, or I will not accept your guilty plea. And do you understand that?
I do, yes, sir.
And would you like for me to accept the guilty plea and impose the negotiated sentence?
Yes, sir, I would.
And because these cases, various counts are venued in various counties, Orangeburg County, Hampton County, Colleton County, Bamberg County, Allendale County, I think that in addition to Beaufort, do you wish to waive venue from those counties to have the case heard here in Beaufort?
I do.
Is there any question in your mind as to whether or not you wish to proceed with this guilty plea?
No, sir, there's no question in my mind.
Do you believe you've had enough time to think about it?
Yes, sir, I do.
Are you
set? A long time to think about it.
I can imagine. Do you believe that you've had effective representation by Mr. Harper-Levine and Mr. Griffin?
Absolutely.
Now, this plea agreement includes a provision providing for a waiver of appeal and waiver of filing any post-conviction relief, as well as ordering restitution. You have reviewed those provisions and are fully informed and agree with those provisions.
I am, yes, sir.
Under the victim's Bill of Rights, the court must ensure that the victim's Bill of Rights have been complied with. The state is well aware of that, as well as your lawyers. And the victims have the right to be heard prior to the official imposition of any sentence or the official acceptance of a guilty plea. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
And so it's the intent of the court, assuming a factual basis is established by Mr. Waters or Mr. James, that the court will accept this guilty plea contingent upon the victim's Bill of Rights being satisfied. Therefore, any sentencing will take place at a subsequent hearing, which will be on November 28th at 10 o'clock. Do you understand that?
It'll be when, sir?
November 28th.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, Tuesday.
I'm sorry.
I understood it wouldn't be today. Yes, sir. I understand that.
All right. And understanding all that has been stated up to this point, how do you plead?
I plead guilty, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you. You can be seated, and we'll hear from Mr. Waters.
Thank you, Your Honor. And again, I plan to be somewhat brief today. It is a lot to get through, and will be more detailed as to the specific mechanisms in which these schemes were conducted at the proceeding on November 28th. But we all know, Your Honor knows, of course, having done the trial, the murder trial that we did back in January and February and March, about Mr. Murdoch and his family legacy, his family power, his family influence, and the influence that he exercised as a respected and powerful plaintiff's lawyer throughout the state, but particularly here in the 14th Circuit. And Your Honor is, of course, aware that after September of 2021, it was reported, of course, the firm announced that they had uncovered that Mr. Murdoch had allegedly been stealing funds from clients, and that led to a whirlwind state grand jury investigation that started to uncover a decade-long course of conduct of stealing from clients. And I want to give thanks to the team that I have here, many of whom you see sitting next to me, those that you saw at the murder trial who have done such Herculean work on this particular case. I have my co-counsel here, Johnny James, as well as co-counsel John Metters, and our forensic accountant, Carson Burney, who did excellent work on this case as well, but also have Ryan Kelly here from SLED, who's just one of the many SLED agents who worked so very hard on this particular case. In order to delve through this morass of documents and financial transactions to ultimately paint the picture of what happened and what Mr. Murdoch did and what he is now here admitting in a guilty plea that he actually did. But I want to say this, that the other people that I need to thank that is so important were these victims. And I can tell you, Your Honor, that at the beginning of this case, when I first got involved in late August of 2021, and we found out about these allegations, and we started to investigate these financial crimes, and I sat down with some of these initial victims and asked them to tell their story, asked them to go in front of the state grand jury and testify and tell their story. And I heard over and over again, Mr. Waters, You don't know who you're messing with. I have to live there. And there was a palpable fear among those victims, in particular the initial ones, about coming forward. And I told them, I said, you're not going to be alone, but we're going to pursue this to its conclusion. But I can't tell your story without you. And to a man and a woman, those victims, as I sat at a conference room table and looked them in the eye and had those conversations, agreed to come forward because that was the only way that this kind of abuse of the judicial system could be exposed. It's the only way that change could happen. It is the only way that we can ensure that this courtroom and all the other state courtrooms, of which those of us judges and lawyers and law enforcement officers and staff are part of, that it doesn't happen again, that it's not abused in this fashion again. And so I want to thank them, because that really showed true courage. And as the ball started rolling, more and more victims came forward, more and more became willing to tell their story. And as I talked to all of those individuals before they testified, the one thing, the one word that came out over and over again was trust. Was trust. It's what I heard over and over again. And I think that's the heart of this case. It is the trust that comes with having that law license on the wall. It is the trust that comes with being part of a powerful family. It is trust that comes with building a powerful practice. But it is also that trust that comes with the fact of how these schemes typically worked. And the way they worked is that when Alec Murdoch would bring those individuals in to sign the paperwork, to look at a disbursement sheet that had out all the various disbursements that were coming from these cases, in most instances, he was still handing them a really big check. And it was easy for him. It was so easy for him to smooth talk and fast talk them through these disbursement statements because he's handing them that big check. And what they didn't realize was that at the same time, he was taking money from them, sizable portions of money from them, behind his back. And I think as we develop this case, that ultimately what it really boiled down to was such a sense of entitlement and lack of accountability that Mr. Murdoch felt he was entitled to that money. And so he took it. We've detailed before how Mr. Murdoch had some financial difficulties that started in the recession back in the late 2000s. And he had some financial difficulties, but after that he had some big cases, and his partners and those around him thought that those big cases, from which he generated large amounts of fees, sometimes seven figures of fees, that he had gotten everything right. But he hadn't, because his insatiable desire for money meant that not only was he taking six and seven figure fees, not only was he borrowing at very favorable rates from the bank, but he also was stealing from these clients on top of it. And the first one that's indicted by the state grand jury occurred in December of 2011. And that was from Natasha Thomas and Hakeem Pinckney. And those would be the crimes that are in 2022 GS 4701 and 02. And ultimately, he was able to steal from them with his first scheme. And that first scheme would be that he would have on the disbursement sheets, and those disbursement sheets are where it has the settlement and it takes out the attorney's fees and all the legitimate expenses, and where all the money's going, and then the net result, the net amount that's going to the client at the bottom. It's an accounting of all how that money's being dispersed, that money that is going into his trust account that he holds in trust for those very clients. And the procedure is that you get those clients to go through that, you get them to sign it, which he didn't always even go through it with them, but the ones he did, he would put on there in the initial scheme, he would put on disbursements to Palmetto State Bank. And these disbursements to Palmetto State Bank were easy to talk through very quickly. Staff didn't pick up on it because they looked legitimate. It was not uncommon for Palmetto State Bank to sometimes loan money or to have claims. And so it was easy for that to look legitimate. And again, everyone from the clients to the people that worked in the firm, the people that were his staff, trusted him. They were not going to question what Alec Murdoch said to do. And so that's how the first one went down. Natasha Thomas, there were checks made out from the trust account, made out just to Palmetto State Bank. And the first one was for $325,000. That was in December of 2011. There was another one that should have gone for the benefit of Hakeem Pinckney that was made out to Palmetto State Bank, and that's $309,581.46. And once he had those checks made out to Palmetto State Bank, he would then get those checks personally, or take those checks and take them over generally to Russell Lafitte at Palmetto State Bank, and then Russell Lafitte would willingly and happily then convert those monies on a PMPED trust account check made out to Palmetto State Bank and convert those to checks, to transactions that ultimately would go to pay the personal debts of Alec Murdoch or into his accounts or to pay other debts that he had essentially converted for personal use. But that was not the only way that he was able to steal from them, because it's very common for law firms to withhold money from disbursement after they make that initial large disbursement to the client. They withhold money in order to satisfy any medical liens that may need to be paid out of the settlement. And it's also very common for them to then negotiate with the medical provider to pay some percentage lower than the actual lien. Well, what that does is create a very easy delta in the trust account from which Alec Murdoch could steal. And in this particular instance, there was a money held back for a lien to Medicaid, and as soon as we figured out that's how it was working, we started to look at those delta and look at the expenditures that were there, and ultimately were able to find a check for $25,245.08 dated June 13th, 2012, that ultimately was also converted through use of making the check out to Palmetto State Bank, and then was structured for the benefit of Mr. Murdoch with money orders and cash under $10,000. That again is December 2011. We move on, and one of the things that Mr. Murdoch had done was have Russell Lafitte appointed as the conservator for two minors that had their relative had been killed in a wreck. And he started to have Mr. Lafitte cut loans at extremely, almost non-existent interest rates to him to keep him afloat. Because what Alec also had going on was a constant velocity of money where he was constantly borrowing money and servicing debt. And to keep those debts alive, to keep those debts afloat, he had to keep that influx of money coming in, whether it came from his law firm, whether it came from stealing from clients, whether it came from new loans. And during that period of time, there was about $1 million of loans that Russell Lafitte wrote to Alec Murdoch to cover various debts that he had, to keep debts from going bad, to keep them from going into default. And so that highlighted the need to continue to steal money from his clients. And so the next one that we had, and this would have been starting in February of 2013, but this would be where he stole $1.325 million from a case involving Arthur Badger and his deceased wife and their heirs. And this would be the crimes as it relates to 2022 GS-47-3. Ultimately, again, it was $1.325 million. And one of the things that Mr. Murdoch did to allow him to do that was when there are multiple plaintiffs, The defense attorneys, once they agree on a global, the civil defense attorneys, once they agree on a global settlement, often rely on the plaintiff's attorneys to allocate those monies among their various plaintiffs. And he allocated the money in such a fashion that the vast majority went to Arthur Badger, even though that really made no sense in the context of the injuries of the case. And so he still was able to give Arthur Badger a check, a six-figure check, that was a great result in what Arthur Badger was expecting, not realizing that the vast majority of that money, that $1.325 million, was ultimately going to be stolen by Ellick. And at that point in time, he had the checks cut in about 9 or 10 different instruments. And again, using the method of having them made out to Palmetto State Bank. And ultimately, those checks then were deposited to give the illusion of regular payments on the million or so loans that had come from those other clients where he had Russell Lafitte appointed as the conservator. And again, that ultimately resulted in over $1 million of theft from 2013 to 2014. The next case that went on was an individual by the name of Dion Martin. And Your Honor, this would be the crimes that were alleged in 2021 GS-4729 in Allendale. Mr. Martin had been injured in a wreck. And this is where we start to see the scheme change. And what Mr. Murdoch did was take advantage of the fact that it's very common for plaintiff's lawyers in the state to use the legitimate business Forge Consulting. And Forge Consulting is a business that matches defendants or their insurers with annuity companies to set up annuities or structures for the benefit of plaintiffs who are receiving large settlements. And so what he did was go to Bank of America and set up an account, Richard Alexander Murdoch, doing business as Forge. And once he had that account set up, then it became very easy on these disbursement statements to put a disbursement down to Forge. And again, it's not going to alert the staff because they're used to seeing that Forge. It looks like to them it's going to a legitimate structure. But the reality is now Ellick Murdoch didn't need a middleman. All he had to do was get that check made out to Forge, and then he could take it down to the bank, deposit it into his Bank of America Forge account, and then transfer it into various other accounts or various other personal debts that he had and convert all that money. And he would tell his staff things like, oh, well, I'm going to go meet the president of Forge. We're going hunting. I'm going to go meet him. I'm going to go meet him for lunch in Orangeburg. I'm going to be in Columbia. So just give me the check, and I'll take it to him. But of course, the second he had that physical check in his hand, he could then deposit it into that fake Forge account that he controlled. And so that is how the scheme moved for the most part from that point on. Ultimately, in October of 2015, he had a Forge disbursement check cut for $338,056.14. Excuse me. And ultimately, that was a Forge disbursement that was stolen by Mr. Murdoch. He also then had a second check in October of 16 that was for $45,000 that he was able to get disbursed to Forge and then converted through his fake Forge account. And then he had a sort of phantom recovery that he put in the disbursement sheet that was listed as a structured for annuity directly to Michael Gunn for $500,000. And this actually was a theft that resulted in a phantom figure being on the disbursement sheet, for which then he was credited with his firm, which ultimately affected how much money he would get paid from the firm at the end of the year when they got their bonuses for the amount of $200,000, which in practical terms resulted in a $185,000 extra year-end bonus for him. Your Honor, that would be the facts as it relates to Mr. Dion Martin. Moving on, the next victim was Johnny Bush, Your Honor, and this would be the crimes that are alleged in ...2021 GS 4736. The amount here was $95,000. Johnny Bush was a longtime friend of Mr. Murdoch, who again trusted him implicitly, and he was able to put into the disbursement a check to forge, and ultimately once he got that fake forged check in his hand from the trust account, he put it into his account and was able to steal that money. The next one is Manuel Santos Cristiani. This one would have been in August 11th, 2016. And this would be the crimes that are alleged in 2021 GS 4731. The amount there was $70,000. And again, there was a forged disbursement that was put under there under the liens category for $70,000 that Mr. Murdoch was able to convert to his own use through the fake forge account. That was actually supposed to be money to pay off a MUSC lien, but instead Mr. Murdoch stole that money. Moving on to the next one, we have Jamie and Risher. Again, a couple that trusted Mr. Murdoch implicitly. And in that particular case, there was a disbursement for $90,000. And Your Honor, this would be the crimes that are alleged in 2021 GS 4737, and there was a $90,000 check made out to Forge that he converted through the fake Forge account. He also misappropriated by putting them down as supposedly legitimate case-related expenses, $5,504.94 that were used to pay for a private plane trip, limo service, and meals. That were ultimately billed to the client as if they were legitimate. Instead, they were for the personal luxury use of Mr. Murdoch. Around this time, we're moving into 2016, and his financial situation is continuing to get worse. He's got a line of credit for $1 million that's maxed out among substantial other debts. And we move on to some of the other crimes that took place. And the next one on the list would be another theft from involving the Pinckney matter. I mentioned Natasha Thomas and Hakeem Pinckney. That was the son of Pamela Pinckney. They were all involved in this particular accident. And ultimately, he had his co-conspirator, Corey Fleming, who had represented Pamela Pinckney because she was driving. And the way it works, of course, is because she was driving, she had to be named as a defendant, even though she was effectively an allied plaintiff, and that's very common. But he had Corey Fleming represent Ms. Pinckney. And Mr. Fleming, despite having made substantial disbursements to Pamela Pinckney, ultimately agreed to have a check for $89,133.44 cut from his trust account at the Moskoon and Fleming trust account and sent to the PMPD trust account. And again, Mr. Fleming never contacted Ms. Pinckney and said, hey, I got 89 grand, I'm sending it over to Alec. Instead, sent it right over there, and Mr. Murdoch was able to convert those funds to his own personal use. Your Honor, that again would go back to 2022 GS 4702 in that particular case. The next victim was a man by the name of Randy Draughty, who had a fairly small claim for the type of claims that we're dealing with, that Mr. Murdoch was dealing with. But ultimately, there had been funds that were withheld to pay a potential medical bill that needed to be paid out of the account. But instead of that happening, on October 3rd, 2017, Mr. Murdoch instead had those funds for $9,569.30 cut from the trust account to Forge and ultimately converted to his own personal use. Your Honor, the Randy Draughty case That is 2021 GS-4732. Our next victim is an individual by the name of Jordan Jenks. Mr. Jenks had a case here in Beaufort County that was being held, handled by Mr. Murdoch. And again, in this particular instance, there was $150,000 that was held back by the law firm to settle medical liens in the case that should have gone to the medical provider. But instead, that $150,000 in two separate checks, one for $85,000 in August 1st, 2018, and a second one for $65,000 in September 18th, 2018, he had those cut to Forge, Mr. Murdoch did, to his fake Forge account, and ultimately converted those funds to his personal use.
This has been a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info, and if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.